Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. It is now time for Culture Club. Today, let's talk about private clubs. When you think about it, a couple of things come to mind, right? You think about exclusive perks, luxurious decor, a long waiting list that you can skip the queue, perhaps. But there's more to private clubs than this. In fact, from networking with some of the city's high flyers to attending private events, being a member of an exclusive club has a range of perks. That said, Singapore is home to a range of private clubs that cater to a diverse array of interests. And today we're going to focus on Mandala Club, which is a next-generation private members club that strives to be a little different from its traditional predecessors. On the line with me to tell us more is Jeff Conan, who's the general manager of Mandala Club. Jeff, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Elliot. How are you? I'm very well.
Jeff, congratulations. Recently appointed as the general manager. I was actually, in fact, there on Monday. Very nice decor. What a relaxing place. But tell me a bit about the inspiration behind Mandala Club.
Sure. Well, I think Mandala Club actually originated a club that was in the same venue called the Straits Clan. Mandala took over in, I think, late 21, and the idea of it really was to find a place for people to connect and to really, like, have a space to, like, share, not only from their, like, business side, but also their personal side. So a place not just for F&B, but a place to really, like, find meaningful connections. And as you say, like, the club is incredibly diverse in not only, like, its aesthetics and feel, but also its community. So
yeah,
it's a place where you can really kind of find your niche and find your community.
Yeah, I must commend you on the community aspect, because I met someone and we were talking about networking in the job space, and he was or is a member of the club. I understand you have a background in architecture as well. How does that help to play a part in your role as general manager?
So yeah, in my 20s, I studied an architect and worked in the architecture industry, and had a very, like, obviously different shift into hospitality in the early 2000s. But I think what I've really enjoyed having that background in architecture is to be able to create spaces where people can, like, use them functionally but still enjoy them aesthetically. And, you know, I think art quite often plays a big part of it, but also, like, spaces that, and I think, you know, in your visit to Mandala on Monday, you would have noticed that, like, a members club needs to have, like, almost a journey, and, you know, you can kind of walk around one corner and be in a completely different environment. Members use the club regularly, and they're in different moods and different, and need different sort of feelings at times. So to have a space that kind of evolves as you walk through it can kind of even evolve during the day into the evening. So I think that's sort of what I've enjoyed from my kind of architectural background, to be able to create, like, spaces that evolve and are user-friendly for members in a space that I use quite regularly.
Yeah, you've got little corners, pocket corners, where the conversation can be a bit private, yet it provides that relaxed feeling. Perhaps the lighting has to play a part as well, because it was lunchtime. I'm quite curious about your own journey and experience in the hospitality industry. Tell us a little bit about your past. You're climbing from being a bartender in a London club to managing director.
That's right, yeah. So I was, as an architect in Sydney, I headed to London to play cricket and realised that cricket wasn't going to pay all the bills. So ended up working in quite a famous club called the Groucho Club in London. In fact, it was the kind of probably the birthplace of the modern day members club, opened in 1985 by women to kind of push against the kind of gentleman's club era, where, you know, men sat on couches and fell asleep drinking brandy and smoking cigars. And Groucho was the first, believe it or not, in 1985 to accept women into these clubs in London. So that set actually a little bit of a blueprint for many, many clubs to follow. Like Soho House probably was the big one that took that. But then clubs like Mandala and many others across the world have, like, sort of followed that blueprint. And so I, landing in Groucho as a bartender, realized that I'd fallen into, like, an extraordinary place, and realized that if I put my head down, I could, like, go on quite a journey in this sort of hospitality industry. And I worked my way up basically through the bar into general management, and then eventually about 8 years ago took over as managing director and sort of steered it through, like, a buyout and also through pop-ups across, like, things like places like Ibiza and LA and even, believe it or not, in Rio de Janeiro. So we traveled a lot and had some fun, but also sort of gave our 5,000 members like a club that they really enjoyed.
Jeff, I'm curious on that note, and I'm getting a sense here about what you want to bring to Mandala Club. Am I right to say you are bringing a bit of that artistic culture or experiential culture as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, the day I walked into Mandala, I was on a visit to Singapore, and I really felt at home. I felt like I'd landed in a place that I was meant to be. And I think it is that mix of arts and culture. You know, the club is varied in terms of its membership. It really has everything, like every kind of member, from finance through to writers, into fashion, into like people in the art industry. But, you know, I think art and creativity is something that we really lean into, and the spaces do that. And then also into food and into our drinks. You know, I think food is a huge part of, I'd almost say I've only been here 6 months, but I think food is almost the religion of Singapore. So we lean heavy into food, including, like, we've done some big pop-ups with some of the world's best restaurants over the last few years, including bringing in Gagan and Mirazu and Narasawa. So food is another big part of that creative channel that we really sort of zone into.
Where do you see the potential challenges then with regard to what you want to bring in to cultivate this sort of aspirational living? Given that in Singapore, well, there's so many choices, right?
Yeah. I think that's absolutely, like, actually you could say that's one of the challenges, but I think it's also a positive. I think, you know, the thing about Singapore is people love good quality food, good quality drinks, good quality entertainment, and they're not afraid to sort of spend their time and money in these kind of places. And I think, but the other part I think as well is that Singapore is quite transient. There is a transient community that needs a home. So there's from both sides, whether it's the local Orient community or the expat community, like, they can find a home in Mandala for different reasons. So I think that's a sort of grounding part of Mandala that allows those people to find their home.
Okay, I get what you mean. So there's a bit of that connection point as well, the emotions that are associated with that, I guess. Jeff, I'm very interested in this mantra that you have, and I respect it and can appreciate it. Your mantra, to be present but unnoticed. Unpack that for us a bit.
So, yeah, I think, you know, I've always believed that hospitality, we're there for you when you need us, but you're not coming for us, you're coming for your enjoyment with your friends or your colleagues. So, you know, the way I've always trained my team and the way I've always been is that we want to anticipate everything you need before you're even thinking about it. So, you know, when we're doing a good job, you actually forget we're even there. And that's sort of what I've been instilling into our team in Mandala. I think they already had it, but I think we're, like, striving to sort of perfect that. But at the same time, we want the personality to come out. We want people to, particularly in a members club, our members want to know us very well. It's not a sort of a transactional thing, where we're a family, like, members and the team are very, very close. So, you know, although we want to be in the background, you actually do become, like, very, very, like, familiar and, as I say, almost part of a family when you spend time in these places.
And how do you get that mantra to, I mean, it's one thing to say that, but how do you get that to go on the service staff of Mandala Club? How do you ensure that they share that same philosophy?
So I think, you know, mostly by leadership and showing. I think that is always the strongest approach. Mm. You know, I think that you know, leading by example is huge, but, you know, I think it's about, like, really tackling each individual and bringing their personality out, really. I think that there's, you know, one thing I have learned being, you know, working my way up through hospitality business, I really understand the pressures and constraints of, like, different roles. And so I think being able to, like, communicate at the right level and to be able to, like, connect with each of the team members and understand these pressures, but then be able to, like, instill my philosophy and to really get them to understand how it actually makes our jobs even more beneficial. Like, ultimately, you want to enjoy your job, and the more fun and the more enjoyment you can have, the more you want to skip into work. So I think that's the key.
like to be happy to be of service in that sense. And I really like the way you're describing it, Jeff, because when you say all of that, I start to think about the hospitality industry. And help me out here. Is it still very much the same where you do have a chance to climb to the top if you're, you know, from the bottom experiencing every aspect of hospitality service? Is there still that opportunity present?
Absolutely. And for me, it's like it's almost even more crucial in a members club.
Okay.
You know, a members club, like retention of staff and like sort of allowing people to grow up within the club allows that kind of longevity and really understanding like members and getting to, you know, for us, like knowing a member's name isn't enough. We want to know what they did last weekend. We want to know what they love to eat. You know, we're it's very much more than just being able to say hello to them as they walk through the door. So like that takes time, and that means that like you want people to have longevity. So I've always built my teams up from the bottom, and I think, you know, they understand the culture, they understand like the kind of ethos of the place. And so I think absolutely in hospitality, there's still that chance. And I think in members clubs, I would say even more, because, you know, actually you bring people in from restaurant or hotel and they don't quite always understand the difference between like hospitality in those settings and in members clubs.
Yeah, the experience is somewhat the same, but the whole ideology is actually a little bit different. I suppose on that note, Jeff, tell us what's in the pipeline.
So, I mean, there's one big thing coming. So at the moment, we're opening a sort of pop-up in Bali, which is running through sort of from May right through till August or September. And then after that pop-up finishes, we're launching our first international club in Bali. So that's sort of being constructed right now. So that's very exciting. The other thing that's happening is we run an ongoing pop-up in Niseko in Japan during the ski season. So that starts in December and goes through to March. So two big things that kind of we work on at the moment. But then in the background, we're working on really like expansion throughout sort of key cities in Asia and also looking at the Middle East. So there's a lot going on here in Singapore at the moment.
Yeah.
Some really exciting stuff, to be honest. And another reason why I sort of made the journey from London to Singapore to sort of be part of this incredible club and the sort of exciting expansion plans that they have.
Yeah. Actually, if you don't mind, I just want to squeeze one more little thing. I mean, coming from London, I know the pride that exists when people work in the hospitality and service line, you know, the kind of education that goes into it. Do you see similarities here in Singapore, considering that we do have very high expectations?
I do, actually. You know, I was pleasantly surprised at the standard of service and the standard of training and even some of the kind of procedures. And, you know, and the team really is on point, and there wasn't really a lot for me to do. In fact, I was wondering, well, they probably aren't here at the beginning because they were very, very good. And then obviously, the further I get in, the more I can bring my expertise to the surface. But, you know, I really believe that Singapore has incredible hospitality, and, you know, Mandala is one of those.
All right. I've been speaking with Jeff Conan, who's the general manager of Mandala Club. Jeff, I appreciate your time today. Take care and have a great day ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.